Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I feel like something good's going to happen. Can I encourage you? Sometimes we sit through the sermon and go, oh, what's going to happen at the end? I want to encourage you, turn your expector on and believe that God wants to touch you and that God wants to fill you. And don't leave empty-handed. I think too often we come to church and we just come and then we go. Leave with a fresh anointing for what God wants to do in this next season. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. Somebody say do, say teach. It's also good to see Karen Batson. Karen and I went to the same school. Did you know that? Same school. We grew up together. I was a grade ahead of her. I remember her on her first day of school. And we've been friends ever since. We hung around in the playground a couple of times. We grew up in the same youth group together. And she's awesome. And when Karen sings The Rain Falls, when I sing, all the dogs in the area begin to join in a Holy Ghost howl. Anyway, back to the reading of the scripture, Pastor Brad. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do, somebody say do, and teach. Let me remind us all today, Jesus did not just have a teaching ministry, he also had a doing ministry. So he taught the word and he demonstrated it with signs and wonders. Jesus' teaching ministry included laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. It included him raising the dead and walking on water and preaching to things that didn't have ears, yet they'd still respond to the word of God. Jesus could preach to a tree and it would wither up. He could preach to a storm and it would be still. Jesus had a supernatural ministry. And we're living in 2020 where it's almost like the devil wants to make us so pragmatic that we forget that he is still supernatural. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. What he did 2,000 years ago on the shores of Galilee, or as my dad would say when he's preaching on the cobblestone streets of Jerusalem, he's still doing today. If he could heal then, he can heal now. If he could deliver then, he can deliver now. If he can save then, he can save now. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming again. If you believe it, can you say amen this morning? Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. How many know that the same way Jesus was taken up is the same way he's coming back? And he was taken up in the clouds, he's going to come back in the clouds. Somebody says, do you know what day the rapture is going to happen? I know nothing about what day it is. The only thing we know is it's going to be a cloudy day. So that's the only indication. If it's a blue sky, you're good. Continue in your wayward ways. But if the clouds develop, repent and repent quickly. Because he's appearing in the clouds. If there's no clouds, he can't appear in them. Because they're not there. I mean, he can appear, he just can't appear in them. How's that? Is that all right? Cool. He was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments. Somebody say commandments. If you're from South Australia, it's commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. By many infallible proofs being seen of him during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God and being assembled together. I love that. Now, I'll just stop there for a minute because it's just good for the visiting speaker to just remind us while we can assemble together, we should assemble together. And online's good, but there's not a corporate anointing at home. It's in the room. And the church is built by assembling together and coming together. And some people go, some people are pumped about the scattering. I think we tolerate the scattering and look forward to the gathering. And while we're assembled together, that's when supernatural things happen. And I want to encourage you. Remember, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of the saints, which is the manner of some, even the more as you see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. I think if there was ever a time that you could see the day approaching, it's right now. I think in December, if you had told me in December what 2020 was going to look like, I would have said you're a conspiracy theorist and you're crazy, but look what's happened. I mean, the world's gone a bit mad, and I see the wheels turning for the coming of the Lord being sooner and probably even in our lifetime. And so with that being the case, as that day approaches, Jesus says, intensify your church attendance, be here. I want to encourage you, let's not be once a monthers or once a fortnighters. Let's get into church, put church first, put our social life around church rather than the other way around, and be in the house of God. Declare over your family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Can you say amen if you believe that? You're here, so obviously you do. And the Bible says, being assembled together with them, he commanded them, there's that word again, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. I'll read on in just a minute, but I preach this text so many times. I mean, that's a text I'd preach when I don't know what to preach. Like if it's Saturday night and I got distracted watching Gilligan's Island, I would have to go, what am I going to preach? Acts chapter 1. And yeah, but one day I'm preaching Acts 1 and I'm preaching in church and doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And this word leaps off the page as I'm preaching, this word command. He commanded them. And I never really made too much of it. You spend a lot more time talking about you shall receive power or talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And they're wonderful principles. And that really is the basis of this text. But this word command jumps out because often, you know, we miss it. But the word command here is a significant word here in Scripture because you can travel all around Sydney and you could walk into any mainstream church. You could walk into the Baptists. You could walk into the Lutherans. You could walk into the AOG or the ACC or the CRC. You could even go to the TAB. You could go to whatever brand of church, Baptist, Uniting, Salvation Army, Word of Faith, Word of Doubt and Unbelief, Grace churches, bondage churches, whatever kind you want to go to church. Here's the thing. Whatever church you go to, we all agree that the Ten Commandments, we're pretty much down with all of them. I mean, thou shalt not steal. We're in agreement. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's holden commodore. We agree with that. Thou shalt not steal. Yeah, we agree with that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't murder. Yes, we agree with that. In other words, we all embrace the Ten Commandments. It's foundational Christianity. Back when I was a kid, you'd have the Ten Commandments up in the Sunday school room. I mean, we believe them. So we believe in the Ten Commandments. So that's great. Jesus comes on the scene wrapped in human flesh and starts ministering and he starts preaching. He goes, you know, we've got 10 good ones. I've got another one. And he says this. He says in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as he has loved us. And I think he got traction. He got a bit excited. So he thought, I'm going to add another two. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we're up to 13 commandments and it's going good. And the whole church world agree. I went to the Presbyterian church in the break and I mean, it was going gangbusters. I knocked on the door and they were in the middle of a committee meeting, but I knocked on the door and I said to them, do you guys believe in all 13 of these commandments? And they went back to the committee meeting and they came back and reported that they all do in fact unanimously agree. You could go to the Baptist church down in Crow's Nest and they believe in these 13 commandments. You could go over to, I think you get the point. They're widely accepted in the body of Christ. But just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he goes, I have a 14th. I have a final command. And let me say this, when I'm about to leave the house and I'm coming back a bit later, I generally, you have some parting instructions. Mine will be, love you, Donna. You know, see you soon. Can I get anything? And that's that. If she's leaving the house, it's a very long list. It's do this, do that. By the end of it, I feel used. But when Jesus is leaving, his final words are so important. And they weren't just words of encouragement. He gives them a command. Like a superior in the army to his men or his women, he says, it's a command. He commanded them, go and wait in Jerusalem until He says this. I'll read on verse 4. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me, for John truly baptized in water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power." Somebody say power. He says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. A witness to me in Sydney, in New South Wales, in Australia, to the ends of the earth." When he's spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus gives this command. He says, wait. Yet at the same time, in Mark 16, he gives a command and it's go. And I wonder if these guys are sitting there going, well, is it go or is it wait? My best understanding is it is go, but before you go, wait, so you've got some power to go with. And he says, go and wait in Jerusalem. In other words, don't start a church. This is what Jesus is saying. Don't start a church. Don't start a ministry. Don't get involved in some kind of Christian endeavor. Don't try and do the work of Christianity without first being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because you and I cannot do what God's called us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you will not fully in totality fulfill the call that God has without the anointing of God. Even Jesus willingly did what he did. The Bible says he emptied himself of his eternal glory, the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. In other words, Jesus demonstrated to you and I that you and I minister and do this thing called faith and Christianity by the power of Almighty God. Can you say amen if you believe that this morning? And so Jesus says them, he commands them. I heard a story, and I might massacre some of the details, but the big sort of picture of the story is about a man by the name of T.E. Lawrence, who you might know him as Lawrence of Arabia. They said in England, it was said after World War I that was the war to end all wars. Of course, then there was World War II, so that backfired. But World War I was a war to end all wars. And my understanding is that Britain wanted to bring all of her troops home back to England. They didn't want to lose the strength of the British Empire, and they were also worried about unrest in the Middle East, in what was the Ottoman Empire at the time. And so they sent T.E. Lawrence to try and round up chiefs of the tribes that were living in that part of the Middle East. And these tribes were, these chieftains would lead tribes that would exist purely to find watering holes in the desert, and they would live from watering hole to watering hole. And that was how they lived, and it's how they died. If they couldn't get water, they died. And tribes would literally live and die of whether or not they could find water. So in order to keep stability in that part of the world and promote, I guess, Western culture, T.E. Lawrence meets and somehow pulls these leaders together, these chieftains together, and says, "I want to bring you to England and I want to show you how we live in England and give you a taste of Western life." So he brings them to England. They see all the sights, and I think they even rode the London Eye. I'm not sure, but that's a joke. It didn't exist then, obviously. It's brilliant. So they went, but they went and had a look through England, and then they ended up in Paris, and they stay at this hotel in Paris. The hotel is brand new, and this hotel is the first hotel in Paris that has running water. And so I guess the hotels in England, while beautiful, you'd get your water and bring it to your room. And it was still very manual. It didn't have modern plumbing. And so they go to this hotel and it has running water. So these chieftains are in their hotel room and they go into the bathroom. And they're able to turn the tap and water's coming out. Now, to you and I, that's just normal. When you've never seen that before and your whole existence is in search of water that you can live from, this is the greatest thing you've ever seen. He could not get them to leave that hotel to see any of the sights. They didn't go to the Arc de Triomphe. They didn't go to the Eiffel Tower. They didn't go to Starbucks. They went purely stayed in that hotel, and that's all they did. And they turned the taps on and off. They were transfixed by this. And so T.E. Lawrence says, we're going to go back to, we've got to get back on the ship to go back to the Middle East. And so he goes and makes preparations, comes back to the hotel on leaving day and gets there, and police are surrounding the hotel. There's a whole commotion because these chieftains have pulled the taps off the walls and put them in their bags to take home. And T.E. Lawrence says, no, you don't understand. It's not the tap that gives you the water. It's because the tap's connected to pipes and the pipes are connected to a reservoir, and it's the water that's coming to that tap that you're seeing. You're not going to just be able to take that tap with you and water's going to come out. And Jesus is essentially saying the same thing. We don't need you to just get around like a shiny tap. We need you connected to the waters of God. We need you to be connected. Come on, do you believe that this morning? If you do, just can you clap? Is it illegal to clap your hands? I don't know what the rules are. I feel like singing, jumping, shouting in tongues, falling out under the power, catching myself and going home and saying COVID-19. I feel like in my church, you know, you have all the lights, we have all the chairs. Chairs have been real popular. We've done a lot better since we've got chairs. We got the air conditioner. I mean, we got the overhead, not the original anointed kind, this kind. And we got the little lights that you can hit a button, and if the song's more heavy, you can move to more of a red colour. We have the check-in for kids. You know, some people call it check-in. I call it the mark of the beast. But we check the kids into. We got the cry room for the mothers. It's even better when, for the parents. It's not for their kids. It's for the parents. They get very upset. We have it all. But can I tell you, all of those things, all they are, they're just tap. And, you know, I think at our church, our tap's getting shinier. We used to just be a silver. We had two taps, hot and cold. Now we've got a mixer. Now we've got one of those matte black taps that you can hit a button and, you know, it comes out all bubbly. And then you can, you know, you can pull the thing off. It's got the spring. I mean, taps are incredible. I think in terms of the church world, I think Australia has the best looking taps everywhere. I mean, we've got tap conferences. We can go to tap church growth conferences. We can go to tap seminars, how to grow your tap. I mean, often I'll ring Brad and I'll discuss how I'm having trouble with my tap and what can I do, and he'll give me advice. This is actually some of the cheapest plumbing I've ever had, but he gives advice how to get your tap working. But you know something, we can have the shiniest taps in our suburbs, but if they're not connected to the river, if they're not connected to the Spirit of God, it's just a tap. I mean, I go to Bunnings. I went to Bunnings just recently. They had a whole lot of different taps that you can buy. And I turned them on. No water came out. Oh, there's no way I was buying those taps. They don't work. Can I tell you? I think too often we've got shiny taps, but we don't have water flowing. And Jesus is saying, don't just hang around and be a tap. We're vessels. Something has to flow out of us. And in order to get connected, he says, he commands them. When you think of the baptism in the Holy Spirit as a command, it really does change a few things when you realize Jesus didn't suggest it. He commanded them. And so then they go to the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They receive power. And all through the book of Acts, there's six different, there actually may be a few more, but we'll give you six today. There are six different phrases in the book of Acts attributed to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That Jesus, he says, you'll go and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, he gives six phrases, six terms for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I would love it if you wanted to write these down. If you have an iPhone, write them down. That'd be great. If you have a Samsung, just leave it in your bag. It'll just help you socially. But I want to give you six different terms in Acts for Jesus' final command. Are you ready? Can you write these down? Number one, in Acts 1 and verse 5, he says, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, in 2020, in our advanced English language, or in any language that's evolved over time, we have 10 ways to describe one thing. When Jesus was ministering, he would have their language, they would have one way to describe 10 things. So when Jesus says, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They're not associating a baptismal font and being dunked underwater and getting up. They've never heard this is revolutionary. And it's not like Jesus just invented a word either. This was a business term that he's now using for Christians to understand what's about to happen. And so when we use the word baptism now, you could go to your uncle or auntie's place, they've never been to church at all, and say, hey, do you want to come to my baptism? They're going to know that it's a church thing. They might not understand the theology, but it's now a churchy word. But it wasn't a churchy word back then. It was a Bible term. It was a business term. And Jesus uses it. And I'll give you, for instance, if right now, if a boat was in the water and perished, we would say that boat sank. Sunk. Is it sunk or sank? Are they interchangeable? You're the expert. I trust you. Sunk. It's sunk. God bless you, brother. Sunk. I feel like it sank. I don't know. Can someone, any schools, any grammar police, you know, you moderate people's Facebooks, anyone? So the boat sank. Well, either way, the boat's gone and it's tragic. But here's what I am trying to tell you. They didn't have the word sink or sank or sunk. They would say the boat's been baptized. And this is how they'd explain it. The boat was in the water and now the water is in the boat. That's what baptism in the Holy Spirit is. Right now, we're in the water, but is the water in you? You're in the room, the Spirit of God's in here, but you can leave the way you came, or you can say, God, would you touch me? God, would you fill me? God, would you anoint me? God, would you let your power come upon me? I want to encourage you, even in 2020, if there's a time, we need old school Holy Ghost power. I mean, I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I mean, we don't really dye clothes now, but dyeing of clothes. They didn't necessarily have a word for it then. They would say we baptize the fabric. And how do we know when it's finished? How do we know when it's time to pull the fabric out? When no longer is just the fabric in the dye, but now the dye is in the fabric. How do we know when we're filled with the Holy Spirit? When we don't really know where the atmosphere ends and where I begin. I feel like what's in here is in me, because we don't just go to church, we are the church. How best do we become the church? When we're full of the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe this with all of my heart. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded, he said, don't just get in the room, let the room get in you. Number two, Jesus says in Acts 1:8, he says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he talks about the baptism. And then he uses a different expression. He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know Samson in the Bible, big, strong Samson. You know, I've seen pictures of him. I don't believe they're photos. I believe they're artists' depictions. But everyone I see has just got these massive muscles. It's like they're fighting each other on one arm. He's just, you know, guys that are so muscly, they got muscles in places I just don't even have. Like they got, like, anyway, it's just how I see the world. But everyone sees Samson as like Goliath, you know. Goliath was like mega. He was ginormous. He was like abnormal. He was a giant. Samson wasn't a giant. And everybody sort of draws him like he's this big, built like a brick church facility. And but the thing is, if that was so, Delilah wouldn't have said to him when he had his head in her lap, what's the secret to your strength? Because if he was massive and strong and huge, well, it's not a secret, because the guy is built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he's not. He's just a normal guy. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he would do superhuman things, like kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of his mother-in-law. It was unbelievable. I mean, he could lift the city gates. he could lift the city gates and just plant them inside town. He pulled down the Tower of Dagon. He could do supernatural things. But Delilah would say, how do you do that? Why? It was a spiritual thing. And can I say, you and I can do things we'd never be able to do when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Do you believe that at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit comes upon? I've got to keep moving. Number three, the Bible says they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say filled. filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 4. And they began to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave them the ability, that word filled. A good way to describe that is to say, in the original language, is fully furnished. I remember when you first get married, you get your house, you go to Freedom, you feel all bougie going to Freedom, and you get yourself a beautiful couch, pleather. And I remember back in your house near Paradise back in the day, you had Freedom everything. Brad's house, I don't know how he did it. Brad was like secretly had a stash of cash and had like the bougie house. All the other pastors in the church, they had a card table with a really nice tablecloth. But not Brad. He had Freedom furniture. It was awesome. I house sat your house one time with Alex. It was great. Anyway, moving on. We had a lot more people over than you would have been comfortable with. I'll just tell you that. I remember you get your bougie house. I remember getting my couch. My couch was fantastic. It really matched the sheet I had to hang over the window because I spent all I had on the couch, but not on the... But he talks about a fully furnished house. We fully furnished house. We're temples of the Holy Ghost. And the one thing about the Holy Ghost is he furnishes his house. That speaks of provision. That speaks of resource spiritually. It speaks of everything you need to accomplish what God has being done in your life and in your world in the name of Jesus. Fully furnished. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. He furnished their spiritual house. You know, how do we build our spiritual house? We do that through the baptism in the Spirit. But God, not only do we build it through the Spirit of God, but God furnishes it. Number four, he says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. There's enough anointing for every person. There's enough healing for every person. And sometimes we see somebody get healed of something and we're still battling and we go, it's almost like in our human mindset, we think, well, if God's done it for them, maybe that's all the power he has, is pick that person. I always look at it and see if somebody gets healed. Man, that's not something I should get jealous of or disappointed about or, grumpy about. I should go, well, God, you're no respecter of persons. If you can heal Marlene, you can heal me. If you can heal Beryl, you can heal me. If you can heal Shirl, you can heal me. If you can heal Merle Rasmussen, you can heal me. If you can give Bobby Johnson a new car or Stevie Johnson a new TV, God, you give them a home, you give them a promotion. That doesn't mean that's the only one left for them. If you can do it for them, you can do it for me. You're no respecter of persons. I've learned to celebrate the miracles that happen in other people's lives. You can either get jealous or get disappointed, or you can celebrate and say, God, if you can do it for them, that means you've got some miracles for me. You know, if my friend's church gets favor on them, I don't sit back and go, oh, well, they're blessed. I'm just struggling out in Adelaide. Missionary in Adelaide. I think God can bless Horizon. God can bless my church too. If God can bless your home, he can bless my home too. He says, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. There's enough anointing for all flesh. And if it's out of the Spirit of God, the self-existent God of heaven, in whom there is no lack of supply, there's enough for every person. You know, one of the names of God is El Shaddai. What does that mean? The God who is more than enough. I nearly sang that then, didn't I? More than enough. Somebody say more. That's the closest thing to singing you're allowed to do in New South Wales. I feel like people get scared when I make COVID jokes around here. I'm going to hug every one of you after service and sing at you. Let me tell you, the problem is I've got to move on. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Not the God of nearly enough. He's not El Cheapo. He's not El Povo. He's the God of more than enough. Superabundant goodness and provision. Somebody said to me, said once, do you believe in prosperity? I absolutely do. I don't necessarily believe in some people's idea of prosperity, but I believe in Bible prosperity, that God is a God who can bless us all. He's a God of supply. He makes a way where there is no way. El Shaddai, do you believe that in the name of Jesus? I've got two more. I've got to move so fast. The two of you taking notes look nearly worn out, so I've got to move. Number five, Acts 10:44. It says this, and I love it in the original King James because it's just old school. He says, while Peter yet spake. You might not be able to speak with a mask, but there are no laws that say you can't spake with a mask. Someone has a go at you today. I saw you, you were spaking in tongues without a mask. Yes, and that's perfectly legal. Spaking. See, it's all about loopholes. That's what we're looking for. Well, Peter yet spake. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. I love that. I don't know. There could be a few things. Maybe the sermon was boring and the Holy Spirit was just saving everyone else from it. I don't know. But Peter's preaching in Cornelius's house and the smell of linguine was coming in from the kitchen and Peter starts preaching. And I think the Holy Ghost knew that the smell of that food was so good that if he didn't move now, they'd desert him anyway. So he said, Peter's preaching. The Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. Fell. I love that. The word fell. Some of us, we think the Holy Spirit fell. Means, did he trip over? No, the Holy Ghost didn't fall over. He fell. It was an intentional descending of the power of God to interrupt what was happening in a divine, supernatural way. And that word fell is the same word as when the prodigal son's father hugged him. It's that same word, embrace. In other words, when the Spirit of God falls, the love of God. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that pulls us in. You might say, well, I've never felt the love of God. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You feel everything. People talk about assurance. What's assurance? Knowing that you're on your way to heaven. There's Christians that think, you know, they make one mistake, they're going to hell. You know, I did this. I guess I'm going to hell. I messed up. I'm going to hell. I think it's a lot harder to fall away from your faith than people might think. I don't think God's looking for ways to get us to hell when he sent his son Jesus to get us to heaven. He's looking for every way to redeem us. But let me say this, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the highest form of assurance because you know that you know. I doubt a lot of things, but I don't doubt that Jesus loves me because I feel him. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the power of heaven comes on you. Jesus, he's in the business of filling people. He wanted people filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem. He breathes on his disciples. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's the sixth thought, by the way. In Acts chapter 19, Paul came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I love that number six is not about what God does for us. It's actually our posture towards him to receive. Jesus breathed on his disciples. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Some people think Jesus went like this. That's not a fact. Because that would have meant he blew on his disciples. He breathed on them. Come here, Thomas. Again, yet another thing we're not allowed to do in 2020. I've been banned from doing that. I was planning to do that with everyone this morning. Two things are against me. It's illegal and I'm from South Australia. Most of you won't even shake my hand. I make a COVID joke and you look at me like, nah, not you. Not you. You're a dirty South Australian. It used to be the Victorians. Somehow they redeemed themselves and the shame lifted and moved across the border to us. But I stand here with no shame. He took my shame. I can't believe you applauded that. Thank you so much. That's an encouragement. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, just for a minute, if it wasn't COVID, I'd just say, if I can, I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you. But I don't know what the rules are, so I'm going to try and interpret them as best I know how. I was preaching at a church somewhere in New Zealand. And this girl comes up to me after the service. She said, would you pray for me? I prayed for her. Like it was a youth conference, so you pray for everyone about 14 times. I mean, there wasn't any oil in my bucket. I'd lost my bucket. There was a hole in my bucket. So I was done. So I said to her, sure, I'll pray for you. So I'm leaving, Pastor Brad. I know you would never do this because you've got such a pastor's heart and it comes through. But I was a bit done. I was ready to go to bed. So I put my hand on her shoulder and I sort of did the whole, and it was wrong. The Lord convicted me. I had to repent. Put my hand on her shoulder. I said, Father, bless her. I minister to her. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to go home. She goes, was that it? I'm like, what do you mean, was that it? She goes, was that it? I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, my father is terminally ill, has depression. My mother and father are getting a divorce. I have anxiety, and she listed off a whole lot of health issues that she had. She says, I came to you in faith, believing for a miracle. Was that it? I was like, no. That was a practice. I said, you know, you have to fire things up, you know. So I prayed, so I put my hand on her head. I said, in the name of Jesus, be made whole by the power of God. She falls down under the power of the Holy Spirit, old school. Fall out under the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking at her. I thought, I reckon that might be it. I think that's it. So I just went home. My work was done. I get in the car and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he says, David, he said, don't build the kind of church where people come on a Sunday morning. And they say, God, I'm hungry. I need something from heaven. And they leave saying, was that it? I pray that when you leave this place today, you won't leave going, was that it? Come hungry. Let's believe God. I'm going to pray and I'll hand straight back to Pastor Brad. Let's stand and lift our hands to heaven. There's a new anointing for every person in this room. There's a fresh touch of Almighty God, Spirit of the living God. Lord God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Let breakthrough, let faith rise in people's hearts. Lord, let a new anointing come upon this house in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of heaven get upon your church. Lord, I pray a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost, healing, breakthrough, answered prayer. Lord God, move in this place by your Spirit. Let the rain of heaven fall. Lord God, 2020 might be crazy, but God, I declare over 2020 and the year to come, the fire, the anointing, the power of God. Lord, we receive from you. Just lift your hands and receive from heaven. In the name of Jesus, we worship your name, oh God.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.